All right. Well, I know we're ready for God's word, so let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 15, please. Romans chapter 15. We're going to continue talking about the subject that we introduced last week, and that is the core. That is a subject that I wanted to have us explore. Because as we said last week, how many of y'all know that life can be crazy at times? You know, just listening to some of the prayer concerns, wow. I cannot imagine hearing some of the news that people hear. You know, when someone has any kind of news that is unfavorable, is difficult sometimes to process. Can I get a witness, please? You know, I was listening to a minister online yesterday. And he was saying, he was recalling back in 2007 when his son at the time was, I can't remember what age he was in his 30s, I think, and he was killed suddenly, and the minister said through a lot of tears, he said, that was the most devastating day of my life. Well, how many of y'all know that that kind of change can rock our inner world? There's change of all kinds. You know, we live in a world that is ever-changing, don't we? The geopolitical landscape is always in flux. There's always a threat by North Korea. There's always a threat by Russia. There's always a threat by Iran. You name it. COVID, need I say more? Has that changed our lifestyles and impacted us? You know, it is amazing. Even they're saying now that there are ongoing effects. If you've had COVID, there are ongoing effects to that. It is crazy. You know, when I fall asleep now, Cindy will tell you that when I'm breathing, I don't breathe normally. I'm wheezing every time I breathe when I'm asleep. Am I telling the truth, babe? That's an ongoing effect. I don't know where that, you know, I'm believing God to heal me completely. But, you know, I was over COVID before the new year, and still I see effects. Thankfully, I can breathe great, but that's a change. Life is constantly in flux. In fact, the one constant in life, who would agree with me, is change. Amen. Like it or not. You know, I look at pictures of me 10 years ago and I'm like, who is that guy? I used to have more hair, not as much of a receding hairline. It used to be beautifully dark like Fabio had it, you know, in his prime. Not so much. Don't choke, Glenn. you know, it's different. It's just a different reality. It's called change. And we said many years ago, I looked through the book of Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And he said that to deal most effectively with change and an ever-changing world is for all of us to have what he calls a changeless core. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe with all my heart that there is no greater changeless core than Jesus Christ himself. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 1, we looked at that verse last week, and it said that Jesus does not, he remains the same. Even the worlds may change. Even it might wear out like a garment and such. Jesus is still the same. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Isn't Jesus our changeless core? You know, throughout the years, that's my go-to. He is my core. Who else do we go to without Jesus? You know, I don't know how people without the Lord and lost in this life, without the hope of being in a relationship with God, that how they manage. I don't get it. Who's ever been pushed to the brink, even with Jesus as your core, but you found out that that core will hold you together in the worst of times? He is my core. You know, many years ago, I was, I've been a runner for decades, and I would be more involved in races. And I found that when I would train for a race, I would always have lower back problems. And it I said before a race and such, until a friend of mine who was more fit told me, they said, if you have a strong core, you'll be a strong runner. They said, this is what I suggest you do. You work on planking. Who's ever planked? How many of y'all know that's not easy? Some of you probably after 10 seconds would be like shaking. I start shaking after 30 seconds. But anyway, that strengthens your core. Any doctor will tell you, any chiropractor will tell you, if you want to reduce back problems, strengthen your core. Strong abs, strong lower back, and it will do away with back problems. Thank you very much. Or maybe I should say you're welcome for that tidbit. No extra offering will be taken up for that. Praise the Lord. So we said that, you know, the first two things, the first two realities about Jesus that have got to be our core is that the love of God loves us. God loves us just as we are, warts and all. We don't have to earn that love. None of us certainly deserve that love. God loves you now the most he'll ever love you. There is nothing you can do to get him to love you more. And on the other side of that coin, there is nothing you can do to get God to love you less. He is a loving God. God is love. 1 John 4:8. The second one is that Jesus is Lord. That he has got to be Lord over our lives. He has got to be number one in our lives. We must seek first his kingdom. Come on, somebody. And his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to us. You know, we said that last week that lordship is very foreign to us Americans, especially in the 21st century, because we don't have a lord-vassal society. That was back in the ancient days in other countries that they might still have that arrangement of governorship where the king is the law, basically. You can go to the United Kingdom if you move there. How many of y'all know you cannot vote the queen in and you cannot vote her out? Right? You cannot. You certainly cannot impeach her. That's a kingdom. And if you don't like it, they'll make sure they'll get you a one-way ticket back to America. How many of y'all know that Jesus' kingdom is no different? We accept Jesus into our lives, but you can't vote him out. You can't vote him off the throne, Americans. That's why a lot of us have a hard time with lordship. Because we are so empowered by democracy. And, you know, thank God for democracy. In America, who is Lord? You answered that question, Terry, last week. Who is Lord in America? We the people are Lord. See the conflict that creates? Something's going to give, baby. If we want Jesus to be our Lord, our spiritual leader, and the forgiver of our sins, then our democracy has got to submit to his lordship. Amen. Amen? Especially some of us who have a wide streak of independence. And we're running through the fast lane of life with our hair on fire. And ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody has the right to say this to me or say that to me, and I'll get vaccinated when I'm good and ready if I want to, and if I don't, boo. Whatever the case, you know, however you want to slice and dice it, baby, at some point has nothing to do with vaccination. At some point, that's got to give way to Jesus. Amen. Well, there goes the banny rooster, right, Brother Dave? if Jesus is king, listen, he must reign. And we have to keep him there. Because some of y'all know, in any given day, there are voices vying for his lordship. There's my flesh, there's the world, and there's the devil. So we have to understand that principle. Third and fourth realities of the core of Jesus Christ in our lives. Jesus is our hope, and Jesus is our way maker. I give those together because they go hand in hand. Jesus is our core. Jesus is our way maker. How many of y'all have found that with Jesus, there is always hope. There is always hope. Because he conquered death, there is always hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope. Who's ever felt hopeless in your life? I have. I have allowed the enemy to paint me into a corner of life, as you were, and tell me that I was in a situation in life that there was no way out. There was no way out. He had me cornered. He had me believing, waving the white flag of surrender, believing that this is your lot in life. You know, I'll describe it to you. This is a couple pastorates ago. Well, more than that. When I was in Kansas, I was in my mid-30s. I started pastoring there when I was late 20s. And then in my mid-30s, there was an all-out church war. Who's ever heard of church wars? Golly, before that one, I read about them. And I thought, gosh, I hope I never experience one. Woo, man. I'm telling you, the devil has a heyday. God's people, when God's people go at each other's throats proverbially, and then sometimes when they resort, listen carefully, church family, when they resort to hatred and also using profanity in meetings with other Christians, wow. And when nobody wants to exert the fruit of the Spirit or exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, they all want to get their way. Well, boom, clash of the titans. Here we go. Two rams going at it. Pow, pow, pow. And you know what it was? It was over worship. Worship style. We were going from a traditional worship to a more contemporary, kind of a blended service, kind of what we do here. We blend hymns with choruses. Is that right? Choruses. And we kind of keep the mix there. And so the church had bought a Clavinova with the board approval. And so we started doing more contemporary music along with the hymns. And some people didn't like it, and it degenerated to we were meeting, and it seemed like with every subsequent meeting, nobody had a spirit of bipartisanship. Everybody had a spirit of war. How many of y'all know there are some people, listen, that are strong for war? They love to fight. And you know, I remember the pastor, it's incidental, I should have realized this. He said that every Easter, around Easter time, every year around Easter time, that particular church always enjoyed having a good knockdown drag out. And I thought, and why do you say that? Why aren't we trying to stop that? Why do we chuckle at something that God calls an abomination? You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, God said, sowing discord among the brethren, that is an abomination. That's nothing to giggle at or chuckle at and say, oh, you know, that's just the way we are. Really? Gosh, I wonder what Jesus, like what he did in the book of Revelation, what he would say to that church. Get your act together. Stop fighting, brats. I mean, in a lot more Jesus way, that's just the Joe way. Trust me. And then, how many of y'all know that in ministry, the blame rises to the top? Bloop, 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 bloop. And so it's the pastor's fault. I'm like, what? And you know, I got tired. People were always bickering and fighting. And everybody's pride was hurt. And everybody was offended. And going to church, can I say it the old Texas way? It sucked. And I'll tell you why it sucked. Because it was like walking in and you could cut the tension with a machete. There was nothing worshipful about it. Quite honestly, I hated it. I dreaded going to board meetings because I knew it was going to be more of the same round 5, round 6, round 7. You know, it came a point where I was done. I was like, I began looking for jobs outside of ministry. I was deeply hurt because of this. Listen, God called me to the ministry before I was saved. And I had reached my first point in my relationship with God that I was ready to throw in the towel and walk away from ministry. I said, Lord, if this is what church ministry is like, I don't want any part of it. I'm done. I was hopeless. Listen, church family, listen to me. We can allow the circumstances of life to lose our realization that Jesus is our core, and his core characteristic of that is that he is hope. And he is hope because he always makes a way where there seems to be no way. Let's look at Isaiah chapter, we haven't even read the Romans 15. We'll read the Romans 15. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16, please. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all know that when all of God's people, the Israelites, as they were exiting Egypt, they were hemmed in because to the side of them were mountains. Behind them was the Egyptian army. In front of them was the Red Sea. They were hemmed in. Who knew that God all along had seen a path right through the ocean, through that sea? How many of y'all know that God is a way maker? He will make a way where there seems to be no way. I know I'm talking to somebody. He will make a way. You can't see it. You don't understand it. But can you trust it? Can you just trust this one thing? That God knows there's a way, even though you can't see it now. God will make a way for you where none seems to be. You know, we got away for vacation, me and my little family, from all that, vitriol is the best way I can describe it. And I remember I would get up early in the morning before my family did, and I'd go to this like little gazebo. We were down in El Paso, and it was very cool. Like in the desert conditions, it's kind of very cool in the morning, even though it gets blazing hot at night, or during the day rather. And I would take my Bible and I would begin to read. And I was reading Ephesians 1, and I'll never forget it. I was reading a verse that said, God is able to bring all things to the conformity of his will. I remember reading that. I read it again. God is able to bring all things to the conformity of his will. And I remember saying, Lord, I've got to trust that verse. I need you to bring that church situation under the conformity of your will and not all these rabble rousers that want to go to blows. You know, that for the first time in my life, that gave me a little spark of hope. How many of y'all know that sometimes we don't need all the bright lights of hope. We just need a little seepage of light. Just a little light to say, hey, if I can see just a little light, I can see hope. After that, the situation started getting better. But who knows, church family, that often the change happens in us before it happens outside of us. And can I speak to you? Some of you who are listening within earshot, maybe here, maybe in the radio, YouTube, or whatever, some of you have it reversed. You're like, I don't think God's going to do anything for me until I see it done on the outside. And God's saying, no, I want to do a work on the inside before I change your outside. That little hope, I went back to Kansas with hope. I needed that. Understanding that God was going to make a way. Listen, church family. God was going to make a way where no way seemed. I have a pastor friend of mine. He and his wife were missionaries in Mexico for years. and they wanted to adopt children. And at the time, this was back in the late 70s. That'll tell you how old he is now. But they were wanting to adopt this cute little boy, cute little girl. I met him because, you know, when I was 24, he hired me as his assistant pastor in New Mexico. And he had told me this story. And he said they wouldn't let him adopt because the laws of the land in Mexico were such that you had to be a citizen of Mexico to adopt Mexican children. And no American citizen could adopt Mexican children. And he said he and his wife prayed. And listen carefully. 2 months down the road, Mexico changed the adoption laws. He said, I've always told my son, my adopted daughter, that God changed the entire laws of a nation to adopt them. How many of y'all know God can make a way? Some of you need to listen to this. God is a way maker. Okay, let's look at Romans 15, please. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with what? God wants us to overflow with what? With hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, who's overflowed with worry before? Who's overflowed with panic? Who's overflowed with fear? Who's ready to overflow with hope? I am. I need hope every day of my life. You need hope every day of your life. He is a hope-giving God. There is hope. Listen, because Jesus lives, there is hope. Is there hope in your tomorrow? You better believe there is. Is Jesus alive? Yes. Well, darn tootin', there's hope. I'm going to get to preaching, people. Listen, I've had my fill of depression. And trust me, in the ministry, I'm telling you, I'm going to write a book. In the ministry, ministry has got, for me at times as a pastor, has gotten so dark, I had to go to the doctor and get a prescription for depression medication. Because I could not see any light. But I'm telling you, Jesus is hope. I don't care what it looks like. There might not seem to be a way out. Jesus is hope. And I'm not saying that going to the doctor and getting a little pick-me-up drug is bad. Listen, I needed it. A day after having taken that medication, immediately I felt like a weight lifted. But listen, church family. God will never leave us trapped. God will never leave us hemmed in. God will never leave us on a narrow path. God will make a way. He'll part seas. He'll demolish mountains. He'll raise valleys. Come on, somebody. He'll raise the dead if he has to. He can use any one of the resources of all of his creation to bless you immensely. Do you believe it? He wants us to overflow with hope. Okay, last scripture. So far, so good, everybody? You liking this? Go with me to Zechariah chapter 9. Old Testament, towards the back of the Old Testament. Here it is, verse 12. Sorry. Notice, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of... Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Return to your fortress, another translation says, you prisoners of hope. Who's ever been a prisoner to worry? Who's ever been a prisoner to depression? Who's ever been a prisoner to despondency? Who's been a prisoner to fear? Listen to what God says. You, because He is our core of hope, we can be prisoners of what? We can be prisoners of hope. We can be prisoners of hope. Listen, church family, I think I know about you. I want to be such a prisoner of hope that I take the key to those bars, that jail of hope, and I throw it away and I live in a prison of hope. That's why sometimes I don't have a lot of patience for negative people. Constantly going, and this is not a good thing. They fail, believe it or not. I do have a photographic memory even after that little hiccup there with the scripture. They fail to, when you have a photographic memory, you pick up on people's tendencies pretty quick, right? Because you remember all of your interactions with them. Not that you're trying to keep up tabs with them, but you quickly realize this person's very negative. Yoo-hoo. And who's ever met people that were very negative that always wanted to give you their opinions? Yo, honey, I'm a bearer of good news. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. Well, some of y'all, your feet stink. In more ways than one. You're always, your feet are moving and all you're tracking in from the outside is trash and mud and dirt and grime. Who wants that? I want my feet to be beautiful and I want to bring good tidings, good news to people. And I can, and we all can, because Jesus is our hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you that because you make a way where none seems to be, that there's always hope. There's always hope, Lord. Nothing is too far gone for you. There is nothing beyond repair. There is nothing beyond reconciliation. There is nothing beyond fixing. There is nothing beyond resurrection, Lord. You resurrect the dead things and bring life to them. Father, Holy Spirit, I pray that you fan into flame hope in your people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen.